Please be seated and turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 26, verse 1. Last week we finished the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book without which we wouldn't understand the rest of the Bible. And this week we're going to do another topical study in light of the conditions that we're in here. It is March 15th, which, by the way, it's an anniversary for me. Not a good anniversary, but it was exactly a year ago that I woke up. I stretched on a Friday morning, getting ready to come into the office, and I'm just stretching, waking up in the morning, and then pop, you know, and felt and heard a pop go off in my neck as I ruptured a C5 disc and made me go paralyzed in my left arm, and then after surgery paralyzed my right arm. And I was realizing today during worship, you know, and just when the songs we sing about raising our hands, that it really is the first time that it was easy to go all the way up. So God is good to basically, and somebody was telling me, Kevin, I couldn't even tell that you were ever messed up. And I go, yeah, so that's a glory to God. That's a praise Jesus, because there was days, weeks there that I was beginning to wonder if I'd ever be able to raise my hands to God again. So, but here it is, March 15, 2020, and, you know, Governor Inslee issued no church meetings over 250. Praise Jesus, we were into that so we can meet. And this week saw toilet paper and water go away, dishwasher soap, everything clean off. I mean, this week has been kind of an incredible week for America. And so we, you know, this is a Christian perspective of what's going on. Sometimes I try and think, like, what would I be thinking if I was a pagan like I used to be for years? And in this world, with just all the things that are happening, all these crop failures last year with all the crazy weather, remember that? And people were warning us that, you know, major devastation of our wheat and corn and soybean crops and what's going to happen. And all these volcanoes that have popped off, earthquakes that are happening. And people are just generally kind of wondering, what is going on? Just regular secular people. And now we've got this coronavirus and we've got all this stuff. And for the first time in my lifetime, we have Walmarts and all the grocery stores, big and small, that are starting to have their shelves empty. And they're, you know, people are starting to be panicked about whether or not they're going to be able to live. It's something that Americans haven't had to experience in my lifetime. And so then the question is, why? Where's it going to go? And from a biblical Christian perspective, what's so comforting and the reason why we study the Word of God, what is the reason why? Can anybody guess what the reason why is? It's sin of man. And it's gone global. It's a sin of us turning away from God. And we're going to study today. I'm going to say it's not just my guess. We're going to look at what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says that there's blessings when you follow God. There's cursings when you turn away from God. We were following God. We got blessed as a country. Not everybody followed, but there was a general fear of God within the land. And we were blessed. And now, can we all agree that the nation is not following God? So then the cursing. So actually the Word of God comes alive again. It's coming alive. And then where is it going to go? So the why is because we're in rebellion. We're kicking God out, as I've said so many dozens of times over the years. And there's going to be consequences. And then where is it all headed? What's the real end game? Well, Satan is moving in. God moves out. Satan moves in. What's Satan's end game plan? His end game plan is global government. That's what he wants to do. And there's been headline news in the major news organizations, Drudge and Fox News. Is the coronavirus helping or hindering global government? Global control. And I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely advancing it. It's advancing the goals of global government. So if we're in the last days, which I'm convinced we are, many other people are too, then we shouldn't be surprised that things are going to come our way. Who could have thought of this coronavirus doing this 3 months ago? But things are going to come our way that we as Christians are going to be able to see. This fits in to what would easily become a stepping stone to global government. And we'll be seeing that in our study today. So that's why we study the Bible, because Because we get to have, it's almost like somebody wanting to look at the stars and they can't really understand, what is that light up there? And you can put a telescope up and you go, oh, you know, that's that little face on the moon. Look at how it sees through the microscope. Look at the Saturn stars. See, what's that light? Oh, it's got, the Saturn has rings around the planet. And look, you can see it more clearly. See, the Bible helps us see more clearly the things that the world without the Bible cannot see or understand. And so, you know, really the title is going to be Choose This Day Who Will Serve. Joshua said, you know, the world wants to serve the gods. Hey, you Jews, are you going to, now I'm leaving, I'm going to die. What are you going to do? You're going to serve the gods of the Egyptians that we've left, or are you going to serve the gods of the Canaanites that we're heading to? What, you know, that we've just conquered. Whose gods are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's our attitude, right? The world is going to respond in two different ways. These events are going to draw people either closer to the true God, which means they're going to repent from their rebellion against God, and they're going to embrace Him, even if they're mocked and scorned and hated for doing so. Or it's going to drive people into further rebellion against God, and they're going to enter into the kingdom of the Antichrist and all the cataclysms that are coming. But as for us, we should serve Jesus. And even as Christians, we're going to be in a challenging time where we're dealing with all this. Are we going to be serving Jesus in a reaction of what we do through this? Are we going to double down on making ourselves available for the Great Commission? Or are we going to waste time and do everything else? So let's take Joshua and say, what are we going to do? Let's serve Jesus during the coming days. And so with that, Leviticus 26 is a parallel passage to Deuteronomy 28. Both of them read almost exactly the same. I picked Leviticus. Recently went through that in my reading through the Bible. Leviticus 26:1. God reminds them of the two of the Ten Commandments that are found in Exodus 20. It says, you shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. So what was the problem throughout history with the Jews and the relationship with God? They kept on worshiping other gods, idols. And it is a demonic thing. It's inspired by Satan to get human beings to worship the creation rather than the creator. Does that happen today? In the literal form, do people whittle idols and bow down to them and worship them? And in any single way, anything they wear on their neck, they think there's power, there's something bopping around on their dashboard, they bury idols in the corners of their property before they list it so that the patron saint of selling your property will get people to buy your property. It happens and in this country and all over the world. And porn is also, it's when it says a sacred image, a sacred pillar, that has to do in context. It's talking about pillars that portray sexual immorality. And is that happening in the porn world today, as I've emphasized so many times? So in other words, I want to emphasize, God says, when you worship other idols, you are worshiping demons. And if you worship demons, they start to take power in your country, in your society, in your life. And as Satan moves in and takes over a society, he brings death and destruction and misery. And so when God says, don't do it, it's Satan's world to go into idols. Don't do it. And if you stick with me, you'll be blessed. If you go to do the things of Satan, you'll be cursed. And then the next one, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. So he's only going to emphasize two of the Ten Commandments here. And actually, the first one, it really is two of the commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, then no idols. If you don't have idols, you don't have other gods before you. But so really, three of the four commandments that deal with our relationship with God. The other one is don't blaspheme the Lord's name. If you love God and you're not worshiping idols, you're not going to blaspheme His name. So these are the two things that God knows. If you're in practice of not worshiping idols and going to Sabbath observance, why is a Sabbath observance so important? Because God knows that we as human beings, if we forget the Word of God, If we don't gather with people that fear him and love him, then it's not going to be long until we're worshiping idols. It's not going to be long until we're violating the other commandments between man and man. Thou shalt not, you honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet thy neighbor's house, neighbor's wife, etc. He knows you got to have this relationship with me. If you have the relationship with me, then you're going to have your relationship with man. And the two biggest things is you let your mind go off into the idols of the world. And if you do that, and you don't gather together for fellowship, and you let the rabbi in the days of the Old Testament, the rabbi, break open the scrolls of the law and read you the law and remind you of what God, our Creator, has told us for our own good. If you don't remember that, you're going to let your flesh rule your life, and you're going to listen to what the flesh tells you to do, and pretty soon you're going to be bringing disaster to your life. The statistics of church attendance in the West, especially, you know, America, you know, Europe is dead. Almost, there's hardly a church that teaches the Word of God in Europe. Hardly a church. Most of the buildings have been taken over by other religions, Islam, etc. And in America, they've done the statistics, and it's a rapid deterioration of anybody that wants to go and attend evangelical Christian Bible teaching churches. And what happens is if we turn away from reading our Bibles and from listening to people read the Bibles and from fellowshipping with people, which now the coronavirus is affecting. And what my service, if we are going to have to do it online next week, this is a preview of what I'm going to teach. What the gladiators couldn't do, you know, crucifixion, crosses, killing, you know, crucifying Christians in the early days, feeding them to the lions, all the persecution of the Romans, couldn't destroy the church. The Roman Catholic deception didn't destroy the church. They killed true Christians, the popes, over history. And then what couldn't do it then, in a way, the virus is going to do, technology is going to make it where everybody just dials up a pastor, no longer fellowships with one another, is able to listen to whatever they want to do, whatever they want to hear, tickle their ears, and then when this is all over, however many months it's going to take, or weeks it's going to take, how many people are going to want to come and truly get back into that fellowship one with another? You know who will? The truly born again, keeping their eyes on Jesus, not having any idols, you know, every day agonizing, oh, if I could just fellowship with so-and-so and so-and-so and talk to him about Jesus and be with him and pray for him and stuff like that. Those people are going to be just chomping at the bit to get back into fellowship. But that's not where our culture is at. That's not where the Church of America culture is at. But I hope it's in all of yours, life. I hope that's going to be what you strive for, because you're going to still be blessed by God, even if it is in the middle of all the chaos, remembering I'm standing on the rock of my salvation. To live is Christ, to die is gain. See, even then you'll be blessed because you have that hope. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I'll bless you with food. And you're going to see that the blessing and the cursings emphasize one thing, food. You know why? Because food's important. one of the blessings is I'm going to make sure that the rain comes when it's supposed to, and it comes in the amount that it's supposed to, that it's not going to be a deluge and, you know, wipe out crops like we experienced last year, etc. The threshing, verse 5, threshing out the grain, shall last till the time of the vintage, last until the next year, and the vintage shall last until you vintage grapes. Vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land and safely. You're going to have what you need to drink. You're going to have what you need to eat. From season to season, you'll have plenty. I will give peace to the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. How many of you thank Jesus for the peace we've grown up in our entire life? I mean, do you realize how incredible it is to live in a country that technically for a couple hundred years, I mean, with exceptions to little skirmishes in our own homeland, that we actually have been at peace in our homeland. We don't have people bombing our country. We don't have people coming across the border trying to take over states and winning and slaughtering people and not being able to go to sleep knowing whether or not bombs are going to fall. Think of all those Syrians, the hundreds of thousands, millions of people over in the Middle East that have had to flee their lands because the bombs are coming and the family goes, I'm just leaving with the clothes on my back and my kids in my hands and I don't know where I'm going, but I got to get out of here because there is no peace. That could come. Again, there's a blessing with peace. God has given our land peace like there has never been of people to enjoy peace. I will give peace to land and you shall lie down. None shall make you afraid. Rid the land of evil beasts. The evil beasts, the wolves and the mountain lions and everything are now flourishing again back in the woods. So they're starting to be around. And can you imagine if we had a complete collapse and those things are able to reproduce because they have a whole bunch of people to eat off of? And see, that's what happens, is when there is starting to be death, and there is no way to deal with them, then they multiply like crazy. And the Bible says the world is going to have that time again. Can you imagine this, where people will be eaten by wild beasts, and you'll be wondering whether or not to walk down the street, whether it's going to be safe. Not you, but in the future tribulation period, it's going to be cataclysmic. But God has, He gave us the wisdom to deal with evil beasts and to keep the sword from our land. You will chase your enemies, verse 7. They will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Victory in war, 10 through 13, food. Again, you shall eat the old harvest, in verse 10, and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you. And literally, he's talking to the Jews. The Jews had a literal physical tabernacle. And there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. His presence was there every day. The Jews said, we have the true God. And people could say, how do you know? Well, look at that cloud by day. Look at that fire by night. Look at the Shekinah glory inside of the Holy of Holies where there's no windows. And there's the light of God. And our priest goes in there and he talks with God. And Moses went in and talked to God between the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant. We have the true God. And he said, I'll dwell here. But you know what? Later on in their history, he walks away. It says in Ezekiel chapter 8 or 9, I forgot to look it up, somewhere around there, that it says, God says, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Why? Because the Jews had slaughtered their children, disobeyed God, went after the idols of the land around them, and Babylon's coming, and God says, I'm done. And I think that if we could hear, you know, we don't have a tabernacle. And the Christian church doesn't have a place, a holy place. It doesn't have a holy tabernacle. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of His people. But I think He's dwelt and had His presence in our country to bless our country. And He says, I'll dwell with you if you serve me. I'll dwell with you if you honor my name. But when we dishonor His name, we curse Him. We glorify killing babies. You know, last week the news is one Hollywood star just is screaming bloody murder of how she's so glad she killed her baby when she was 15 because otherwise she wouldn't be a popular movie star. And it helped her record. This week there was some protests outside of an abortion clinic over in another place in Washington State, our state, and some pro-killing baby people came up and were doing vile, filthy acts in front of the people, taunting them and harassing them. And I see these things. I hear, I can't tell you exactly what they're doing. It's too disgusting. You can look it up. And so I see that and I go, wow. Do you think God's presence is here anymore? You know, we're starting to just see the effects of what has happened to a culture that turns away from God. I will walk, verse 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I took you out of Egypt where they were beating you and abusing you and slaughtering your children so that you could be my slaves. You know, God, who are you going to serve is the Bob Dylan song. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And what we're saying when we come out of the world is, I'm done serving the devil. He didn't give me anything. There was nothing good that came out of being a slave of the devil. I'm going to serve God and be his bond slave. And then God says at the end of that verse, I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Praise God for everybody that is born again, has experienced being set free from the shackles of Satan's power over our lives to cause us to live in sin. And now I can live in freedom to serve Jesus. And in doing so, we get blessed individually. And it used to be there was a flavor of that in our country, and the country would be blessed. The world actually was blessed. The Western culture world. Verse 14, but, if you do not obey me and do not observe all my commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow to the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. You know, disease. And in Deuteronomy 28, the parallel passage, it says, moreover, verse 60, 28, 60, moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of the Egyptians of which you were afraid. Now, it's sexual immorality disease is what he's talking about. Because the Jews, when they were in Egypt, they were still being Jewish and obeying God. Even though they didn't have the law of God, they had the thou shalt not commit adultery and have sexual immorality. They knew that from their earlier history of God dealing with their forefathers, the patriarchs. And they would see the Egyptians come down with syphilis, gonorrhea, whatever else was going around. And the Jews would go, man, I'm scared of that. It wouldn't come on them. But what God says is, okay, now if you obey me, then you're not going to have those diseases. But if you disobey, you're going to have the diseases. Why? Because God created us. And he knows what the fall of man did. It brought all those diseases into the world thanks to Satan. And so Satan brought all the death and destruction, and God is just saying, don't walk in the minefield. If you obey me, you won't have mines going off, blown off your legs. But if you disobey me and you walk in the minefield, then bad things are going to happen. People have the idea like, you got to obey me or I'm going to just punish you. It's not so much that is, God has created us. He wants good for us. He says, don't play in the street. You'll get hit by a car. You know, it's like parental wisdom. Don't sneak out in the middle of the night. Don't go off with that non-believer. Don't do all these things. Why, Mom? You're just trying to spoil my life. You know, or Dad. No, I love you. I just know what's going to happen. I know the way the world is. And we try and warn people. And yet God in his love, he doesn't shackle us and zip tie us to obedience to him. He just sits there, I know what's going to happen. And if you go off into the idols of the world, the surrounding nations, you forget my commandments against, you know, that I've told you, you are going to suffer. And are we suffering? Hundreds of billions of dollars of medical costs in this country because of sexual immorality. I heard it's $30,000 a year, AIDS drugs, for people to not die of AIDS. You know, it used to be everybody died of AIDS within 5-10 years. Now they can live, as we know, decades from all these popular people that have come out as having AIDS. And they live at $30,000 a year medication. And all the disease and all the suffering associated with disobeying the commandments of God that has affected our country and affected the health of this country. Forget coronavirus. That's nothing compared to what's happened because of our literal sin bringing on the diseases that are among us. And I want to just stop and say, some of you might be experiencing some diseases that you can't get rid of. Statistically, there should be more than one in here. And once again, like I say with abortion or anything else, some of you might have been involved in abortion. This is not a condemnation thing. This is because the God of the Bible is always there saying, I love you. I just want you to come home. I want you to live here in obedience. I want to forgive what you're doing, but you have to come home. You have to repent. You have to come to me and say, God, I want you to rule over my life. And then he wipes the record clean, and the consequences might be there, the memories if it's abortion, the physical issues if it was sexual immorality. But God's bigger than all that, right? He gives us a new body someday. We're going to be in heaven. It's all going to be erased away. And so you can just live in total peace and joy, knowing, okay, God, it's a reminder to me of what I should have done but didn't do, and there's consequences, and God, you can miraculously heal me. But if not, I'm okay with that because I'm going to go be with you in a short period of time. And that should be the attitude that people have that have been succumbed to some of the Satan's deceptions and as a result suffer in the flesh. Verse 17, I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues. Are we having trouble winning wars lately? I mean, we just had our longest war, 19 years. World War II was 4 years, and it was just a done deal. The greatest generation that ever lived, a biblical conviction of stopping evil, a madman possessed of Satan wanting to slaughter the world, and the world was able to move in there and deal with it. And now we can't do anything. And do we have enemies ruling over us? Don't you think it's strange when you saw the last State of the Union address and President Trump is talking about the things that are good about America? You know, isn't it good that we were able to defend America here? Wasn't it good that this person, you know, was a hero and saved other people and other stuff? And then you have half of our government disgusted over something that was good in protection of the country? Wasn't that, you sit there and you go, so actually they rule over us, right? They rule over us, and they would have been clapping if America got destroyed, if the flags were all burned, if there was no loyalty to the country, if there was no appreciation for God and country. The half of the country that rules over us hates our God and won't even let his name be mentioned. You know, the one who's ostensibly going to be the Democratic candidate, he was quoting the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, and he starts to talk, how many of you heard about this? He was starting to talk about the Declaration of Independence, and he goes, oh, I'm going to get into the Creator. I can't say Creator. Oh, you know what it says. You know, because it says, these things are self-evident, that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. When he was doing that, I can't let this mouth say Creator. So he stumbled over his words, and he had to stop and say, you know what it says. We got half the country that hates our God. And therefore, if you hate this, our God, you love Satan. And if you love Satan, you want to see this, the final remnant, as messed up as this country is, it is the final remnant of people meeting like this and wanting to serve Jesus, wanting to preach his word. After we're gone, after we freedom-loving, enjoying people are gone, it's over with. There's not, you know, South Sudan, we know, has chaplains that want to serve Jesus. And, you know, so there's little pockets, but a major power broker country. And we're being ruled by those who hate what we are. Hate what we are. And that's what the Bible says. Those who hate you shall reign over you if we as a country have departed from God. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I'll make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land bear their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 more times plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And so, again, food will be gone. Animals will come on the scene and kill you. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 more times for your sins, and will bring the sword against you, and will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemies. Pestilence. Jesus talked about pestilence in the last days. when we were getting our inoculations for sin, and I mentioned this, you know, a month and a half or so ago, we're getting our inoculations for South Sudan, going in there. And we asked the lady who had been all over the world, lots of experience, what do you think about the coronavirus? And she goes, there will be pestilence. And she knew what the Bible said. I could tell from that she was a Christian. And so your enemies will rule over you. So who is the enemy this time? What God was prophesying here in Moses happened 900 years later with the coming of Babylon, because the Jews went away from God. And they turned away, and Babylon was raised up as a power, Nebuchadnezzar, and he came to destroy Jerusalem and carry the Jews into captivity, like the rest of the warnings are here in the scripture. Who's our situation? It's another Babylon. The Bible refers to it as mystery Babylon. It's the mystery Babylon of the coming, prophesied Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Revelation. You know, a couple of chapters in Revelation, the prophesied coming 10-nation global empire will come and take over. And this coronavirus and the controls that are being established by the governments of the world, and the economic breakdown that it is causing, is a stepping stone to global government. The enemy is coming. And people say it's crazy, it never happened in my lifetime, et cetera, et cetera. And, well, we're seeing a lot of stuff that people have said isn't going to happen in their lifetime happening. And then it goes on to talk about government-imposed rations, verse 26. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Government-imposed rations. After that, cannibalism, verses 27 through 30. It happened to Israel. It happened to the Jews. They were under siege, and they couldn't, you know, all the store shelves in Walmart and Costco were gone. They couldn't go shopping, etc. They starved to the point where they ate their children. And you can read about that in the Kings and Chronicles. And like Revelation 6 says, also, that it'll take a day's wage to get a portion of bread. Verse 31, I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas, meaning they're not going to even do sacrifices because the temple is going to be destroyed. And verse 32, I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it, because they'd come in and move in, shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Go, turn to Jeremiah 20, verse 1. So, if we continue to see the word of God coming true, which we will, I mean, we might not see it, but the world's going to see it, then we would expect the enemies to take over America. We'd expect America to truly cease to exist as a country, to be taken over by the new mystery Babylon. And it's going to happen. I keep on hearing people say, Kevin, America's not in biblical prophecy. And I've been saying for years, yes, it is. It is in biblical prophecy. Because America ceases to exist. And it becomes part of the 10-nation global empire of the new Babylon that's invading the entire world. The new Babylon are right now elitists of the Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, international bankers that are, the global central bankers and all these other people that are trying to create a global utopia of making all the 190 nations become 10 nations. And this coronavirus is a perfect tool to help get them there. And it's going to take over everybody. And they're going to rule. The enemies are going to rule inside of all the nations by saying, live locally, think globally. And by establishing their agendas that they've been working on for decades to make happen. So about 900 years later, Babylon is on the doorstep of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah has been sent by God to prophesy against the Jews, saying, repent. For 40 years, he's repent. Babylon's coming, judgment is coming, you're worshiping idols, you're sacrificing your children, you've got to turn away from doing these things, you've got to turn to God. And he gets done telling him in chapter 19 of Jeremiah, he says, you have to stop killing your children. God is going to judge you. And now Pashur, verse 1 of chapter 20, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things, repent or else. Now, do any of you guys talk to your friends and neighbors about repent or else? And we need to, you need to turn to God or you're going to go to hell. Or you need to turn to God or bad things are going to be happening in our country. We need to have revival. We need to stop doing this stuff. What do they think about you? What do some pastors say about people who talk about prophecy? They call it, they hate us. They say, don't be teaching prophecy. The Pope went on to say that evangelical Christians who preach that Jesus is the only way to be saved are a curse to the world. So here a priest, this is a priest, Pashur, a priest, who was reading the same Bible, but had rejected its words, hated its words, and embraced the idols of the nations around him. Pashur, verse 2, struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So here's something we can expect. The fake church, because he was a fake priest, the fake church is going to be working for the new Babylon, and they're going to be leading people astray. And so don't be upset if you teaching the truth about the gospel, that you find Christians who are bad-mouthing you when you post an encouragement of the scriptures or whatever else talking about prophecy, don't be surprised because it's repeating history. Jeremiah 23, and it happened on the next day that Pashur brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then Jeremiah said to him, the Lord has not called your name Pashur, which means liberation. So when you call Pashur, hey Pashur, you're saying, hey, liberation, liberty, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But Magar Misabib, which it means fear on every side. I was talking to somebody recently and we were talking about the Constitution, the freedoms and the liberties that we should be able to have. And I was just talking to him back. We had lunch here a week or so ago. And I was just saying, we know that the gifts of the Constitution were so incredible, but we don't deserve it anymore because of what we've done. We were quoting one of the founders who said, what we have given you is a republic, and I'm misquoting a little bit here, paraphrasing, but, you know, if you can keep it, is one of the people that said it. And it's what we've created is something that is totally inadequate unless there is a religious people, unless the people are God-fearing. Because if they are not God-fearing, then it will fall apart. And so, and he remembered that because, yeah, Kevin, I said, look around. We're not God-fearing anymore. So for us to still fight the fight on the Constitution is really something God's saying, give it up, Kevin. It's done. It's over with because the people, as I skipped the verse in Jeremiah chapter 5, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, smacking Jeremiah around, and the people love to have it so. And so God says to Pashur, he says, skip your name, Liberty, Constitution. Your name is Destruction, Fear on Every Side. Are we getting close to fear on every side? I mean, people are starting to get afraid. When you can't get toilet paper, I mean, that's bad. And there's an article over there from alt-market.com where he says, you think this is panic? Wait until all the trillions of dollars the stock market and everything else is taking a hit on. Wait until the banks go shut. Wait until you find out that you can't get any money out of your bank, out of your ATMs. They have a bank holiday. Wait until they confiscate your house because you haven't paid off and you can't pay. Wait until there's marauding bands of people that are realizing, I don't have the toilet paper, I don't have the paper towels, I don't have the food, and I know so-and-so does and so-and-so does, and they start marauding through your streets, and peace is taken from the land. And then to solve that problem, the government moves in with UN troops or with National Guard troops. Might not be enough National Guard troops. We might need some UN troops. And they march in and they go house to house and they confiscate anything that's in your house that was overabundance of hoarded goods for the sake of restoring peace and order. And now you have panic going on. All those scenarios are very realistic, by the way. Freedom and liberty are not guaranteed by the Constitution. What are they guaranteed by? A God who recognizes God-fearing people and he puts a protection upon them. And if the God-fearing goes away, then the protection and the liberty goes away. Verse 4, Jeremiah is speaking back to posture still. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah, put in there America, into the hand of the king of Babylon, put in there global government leaders, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of the city, all the produce and all of its precious things, all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I will give into the hand of their enemies who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. Oh, that's so negative. But true. Can you imagine? I mean, Pasha, he's slapping him around, and Jeremiah goes, this is what's coming. It's going to be total destruction. And you, Pasha, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die and be buried there, and you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. There's a lot of people preaching, oh, better days are ahead, everything's wonderful. You know, I'm never going to talk about the need to repent. I'm not going to talk about, you know, people turning, you know, our country turning into sin and rebelling and doing things that are an abomination to God. I'm not going to talk about that. That's negative. I'm a positive preacher. And that's what Pasher was. And Pasher didn't want to hear Jeremiah say things that were the truth and came true. And the people that listened to Jeremiah lived. The people that didn't listen to Jeremiah died. Because Jeremiah said, God is done with Israel. Israel is going to be destroyed. God even told me to stop praying for the people anymore because it's going to happen. It's already been decided. The F-16s are coming and they're going to die. I'm paraphrasing. No F-16s back then, but same thing. And he says, here's how you save your life. You actually surrender to Babylon and you'll keep your human life. Because I have this plan is to bring judgment. And because of that, they wanted to kill Jeremiah. They almost did kill Jeremiah. So now going to Jeremiah 27, it says, and now Jeremiah actually complains. He goes, God, I just said what you've told me to say, what I've been saying for 40 years, but it's getting so old. I'm having a hard time. And he says, you induced me, O Lord, you induced me. I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocks me. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like that as a Christian talking about Jesus and everybody mocks you? You post something to praise Jesus on the website and they mock you. You call the world to repentance and the things you call out as sin that we're doing in our society and they mock you. At least they're not slapping you around. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord has made to me a reproach and a derision daily. The word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. He said, I read your word and your Holy Spirit was telling me to tell them, to warn them that suffering is coming. And I did what you told me to do. And it was not a positive message, God. And God says, yeah, because there's no positive message. There is not a positive message, except for eternal life. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. I could not, for I heard many mocking fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. Tell us your newest prophecy. Tell us your newest negative message, Jeremiah. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him and we will take our revenge. Let's see him sin. Let's see him live a hypocritical life. Just wait to get rid of this negative prophet and just get rid of him. And then we'll be able to prevail against him. But, verse 11, but the Lord, chapter 20, verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed. But you, O Lord of hosts, verse 12, who test the righteous and see the mind of the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded the cause for you. In other words, it's, you know, do you ever feel that way? So do we ever feel like Jeremiah? Let's take the word of God. And, you know, we have no positive message for our people. Oh, when the coronavirus is going to be back, all the finances are going to be back, stock market will be up, everybody will get their money back, nobody's going to lose anything, everybody's cupboards are going to be full again, and everything's going to be wonderful. I'd love to say that. But let me give you a different encouragement. Are Jesus in control? All these things are nothing compared to the world's gone through before. What we've experienced so far is nothing, and we should expect much worse. God is patient, loving, long-suffering. Praise God, he's long-suffering. We deserved worse than this a long time ago. But everything's going to be well with our soul, as we preached 2 weeks ago, right? Because we know what Jesus has done to set us free from sin and death, and we're going to have an opportunity to witness. And if they mock us, they mock us. But the good message is, if you repent, you can have eternal life. Don't be expecting the world to repent. And we're going to have to skip Jeremiah 44. But what did Jeremiah do? He warned them. They tried to kill him. Guess what? What he said happened. Babylon killed most of the Jews. Killed most of them. The survivors, they hauled off to Babylon, just like God said. Then they left the stragglers and the weak back in the land. And Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar said to Jeremiah, who he respected, he said, and the general under Nebuchadnezzar said, Jeremiah, where do you want to go? You can come with us to Babylon. We'll take care of you. You're an old man. We'll take care of you until you die. Or you can go back with the people. He wanted to go back with the people. I'm the prophet to the people that were left in Jerusalem. And so the people in Jerusalem, in the area that were scattered, just the weak and the decrepit, they said, Jeremiah, we should have listened to you. Go seek God and tell us what he tells you. And whatever he tells you to do, we'll do. And so then Jeremiah goes, okay, I'll do that. After a few days, he goes, this is the message. Stay here. God is going to protect you. Just stay here in the promised land. Whatever you do, don't go back to Egypt. And what do they say? We will not listen to you. We're going to go back to Egypt. Can you imagine? The prophecies of the past have come true. They see the destruction and they say, okay, we'll listen to God. And he tells them, this is what you need to do. And they go, no, we will not listen to you. You can read that in the part that we're skipping over. So let's go to, well, Joshua 24:12 is, choose you this day who you will serve. But let's finish with a encouraging chapter, chapter 3 of Revelation 7. So turn to Revelation 3:7. It really is. Jeremiah 44 is just astounding when you look at the history. And they say, we will not listen to you. Ever since our wives stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, things went bad. So we're going to go back to worshiping Mary. That's really what they're saying. You know, Queen of Heaven back then, Mary, Queen of Heaven today. Idol worship. We're going to go back to worshiping idols because then we had food. Well, Jeremiah says, it's only because God was long-suffering with you that he didn't wipe you out the first time you're worshiping idols. Don't be thinking that everything was good because while you're worshiping idols, sacrificing your children and everything, that the store shelves were still full. That it's not because God was approving. It's because he was long-suffering, calling you to repentance by me preaching to you for 40 years. But after 40 years of rejecting the word of God, judgment's coming. And they still don't get it. Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, He who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, is talking about Jesus. I know your works to this church. Last day's church, people say, this church was literal in the days of John being inspired to write this, literal in the land of Turkey, but also symbolically was referring to a last day's faithful church. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door to go into heaven. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You have a little strength. Last day's church, you're not a mover shaker church. You have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. How many people feel like ripping out parts of your Bible because it's not kosher in our culture today? Okay, nobody? So you want to keep the whole word of God. Oh, you're a Philadelphian church. How many of you want to say that, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, the name of Jesus, is there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you can be saved. But the Pope says, doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, you can be a good person, you can go to heaven. So do you want to go with the Pope and deny the name of Jesus? Deny that he alone is God's salvation? Or with all the other religions of the world, you want to go along with them? Then you're a Philadelphia. It says, because you have kept my word and have not denied my name, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them false Christians. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am convinced, Jeremy and I talked about this earlier in the week, could this be the big one? Could this truly be the big quantum leap towards a global government and the coming of the Antichrist? Or is it just a preamble and we're going to be still here talking about this stuff 10, 20 years from now? I don't know. This is my conviction that this is a true quantum leap event. That we're never going to go back to the old normal. This is going to be a new normal. It's not the event, because we're going to be gone for it. But because Jesus said right here, I will keep you from the hour that is going to test the whole world. So here's the encouragement. Let's be that little strength. We're not the mover shakers. We're not the Mr. Popular Church. You know, and I don't mean this church. I mean you believing in Jesus and trusting in him is not the popular church, wherever that church is in the world today. It's not popular. But that church is going to be delivered safely into heaven by Jesus, and he's going to say, I'm going to take you out. They don't want to listen to you. They want to slap you around for telling them the truth, and I'm going to take you up here and let them go through the time to try the earth. All right? Firstly, I'm a wimp. I want to go be with Jesus. I don't want to be here for the Antichrist. I don't want to be here for the stuff that's coming. So all I have to do that, according to this, is hold on to his word and not deny his name. And that's easy. I can pass that test. But it's going to cost me in the eyes of those who hate our Jesus. But that's okay, right? Final little story. I know we're a little long today, but can we do that since it might be our last service for a while? I had planned to have my doctor had to give me a physical to make sure I was okay to go to Sudan because they have to get doctors okay to go there. And so I had a schedule, and it was this week. But I already knew that I was canceled, so I could have canceled it, but I needed a physical anyway. And so I go in there, and the LPN is, you know, taking blood pressure and everything. And she said, so what are you here for? And I go, well, it was originally to get a sign-off because of Sudan, but now it's just a regular physical. And she goes, so what was the deal in South Sudan? I said, oh, we're going to go and teach chaplains of the South Sudanese army. And she goes, well, now, they allow other religions in there, don't they? And, you know, that's our culture, right? Nobody can have the right religion. Nobody can, you know, they've got to have pluralistic society, right? You've got to bring in people of all the different religions and stuff, and that's how our country is. We have chaplains in our military that are Buddhist and Hindu and Islam and all this other stuff. And you can't mention the name of Jesus, now chaplains in the country. So you gotta be pluralistic. And so she was of that mindset. She'd go, now they allow that, don't they? And I said, every single chaplain of the South Sudanese Army has been trained by the ministry that I'm associated with, which is a Christian ministry, and we teach them the entire Word of God. We teach them from, I didn't get emotional telling her, but we teach them Genesis to Revelation, because their leaders want us to come in, and they want Christianity to bless their people. You know, want Christianity to bless their people. And so, of course, there's Muslims and animists and witch doctors and everything else living in the country, because that's the way people are. But they want their people to be blessed, like our founders wanted our country to be blessed. And then she kind of rolled her eyes, because she's been, I'm sure, programmed into our founders were deists and they had no affinity to Christianity and they didn't really mention Jesus or the God of the Bible. Although, as we all know, all of them, even if they didn't believe in Jesus Christ, it was this God that they said, endowed with certain inalienable rights by our Creator. They weren't talking the Muslim Allah creator. They weren't talking the Hindu Vedas. They were talking about this God. But she rolled her eyes and went out. And I just, that poor soul doesn't understand the value of pluralism. Deny the scriptures, deny Jesus. You know, that's where the world's at. But, you know, that's her mindset. My mindset of holding on to, no, this is the scriptures, it's the God, it's the truth. We want the truth to go out into the world, wherever that world is. Anybody that embraces it gets blessed by God. Eternally. So we've gone long. But can we hold on? In quarantine, out of quarantine? able to travel, unable to travel? Bank account, no bank account? And then we'll talk about some of the logistics after the service, if those that would like. I mean, there's some real practical things that are going to happen that we'll talk about afterwards. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Jesus, that you would help us to hold on to the truth, God. Be unwavering and immovable in the days that you would, even by the power of your Spirit, give us words of knowledge, God. By your gifting of the Holy Spirit, give us words of knowledge of things that will be coming and changing, that we would prepare our hearts, prepare our families for changes that will be coming as a result of this, the world response to this coronavirus issue. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face, we will go to a much better place.
Dance on the streets that are golden, glorious bride and the great Son of Man. And every tribe and tongue and nation will join in the song of the Lamb.
So sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face, we will go to a much better place. when he will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side. A strong, pure, spotless bride.
And we will dance on the streets that are golden. Glorious bride and the great Son of Man. Every tribe and tongue and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. And we will dance on the streets that are golden, the glorious bride and the great Son of Man. And every tribe and tongue and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. We'll join in the song of the Lamb. We will join in the song of the Lamb.
The great tragedy is it won't be every person from every tribe and tongue and nation. That's the big tragedy. But it is going to be every tribe and tongue and nation. There's Christians, there's God-fearing people coming out of every country in the world in the tribulation period. And they're going to be singing the song of the Lamb. We're going to join them by the grace of God. Amen. I'm not really sure how to do this, but how many people are interested in sticking around and doing some Q&A with some specifics on that? Not many, just a few. So, and I'm thinking if we brought the kids in, maybe that wouldn't be good. So anyway, why don't we take just 5 minutes of, 5 or 10 minutes of fellowship, and then I'll get back up here and we'll have a little time for questions that you'd have specifics. There's some things I've been thinking about on this and about what could be happening. And so, but we'll save that for just another time. But let's just have an official ending. Pray, you know, just enjoy one another in fellowship, and then when it's appropriate, I'll just have a little time here in the front with those that want to talk a little bit more. God bless.